All right, how many of you have your Bibles with you tonight? If you do, take it, if you would, and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to share some thoughts with you this evening from the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to maybe circle the verses that we look at. Just take note of them. I believe they'll be a help to you as we go into a new year. We finish out the close of this year. And appreciate Pastor's message this morning. If you were serving or working somewhere else, I encourage you to really listen into that message. And I personally was thinking about this afternoon how I'm going to put that one on repeat. I'm going to put that message on repeat. I need it every so often. I'm going to need to hear it again. So it was a wonderful message and just greatly appreciated it this morning. This evening, I want to ask you a question as we go into this Proverbs a little bit. How many of you enjoy traveling? Okay, I guess it depends on where you're going, right? If you're taking a cruise, that's one thing, and especially if the trip is paid for, right? But here's the thing. When you travel, if you travel any type of long journey, you want to make plans to take some short stops along the way, don't you? If you try to just go the whole journey without any stops, it's going to be miserable, and it's not suggested or recommended. Matter of fact, you'll make it a more enjoyable journey if you plan some stops along the way. And it's amazing what you can see, amazing what you can do, and it's just good for your own health to not sit for extended periods of time, right? Especially, how many of you have noticed that driving can wear you out? It's something else. You wouldn't think that it's work, but it does take some effort to be alert, to be aware of your surroundings, especially in New Jersey. And right, and Philly, and these kind of areas, these kind of things, right? But if you take a journey, it'll help you to take some stops along the way, and that's all I want to do with you tonight, is just take some short stops along the way in the journey of Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. And I don't know about you, but some of my best memories of the journeys that I've taken have included some short walks, some short stops, some sightseeing, some different exercise, you know, stretching as you, and getting out at certain areas, maybe some surprise, you know, rest stops and seeing some history, seeing some things that are there that you never knew were there, but you don't know until you stop and look at them and observe them. And so I hope that'll be the case this evening. They do say this, that it's good to take those short stops, otherwise you get all kinds of things that could take place. You know, stiffness, muscle cramps, discomfort. I mean, you know if you don't, right? And so here's the thing. It's good to take some short stops. My wife's parents were here not too long ago. We're thankful they visited us. But their trip is about a 10-hour trip. And once they got here, they told me that on their vehicle that they're driving, they have what is called, this is literally a thing, it's called attention assist. If you have that on your vehicle, you've got a newer vehicle and a nicer vehicle than probably all the rest of us have. But it's attention assist. That's why I need to explain this to you, and because I had to look into this myself. But attention assist actually has a coffee cup. Now get this, a coffee cup that comes up on the dash to let you know you need to take a break. And that coffee cup changes colors based upon your driving or lack of driving skills. And so if it senses that you're getting drowsy, if you're getting tired, that coffee cup might start off as a yellow, but it's going to be turning red pretty soon. And it's still that coffee cup. It looks nice, has a steam little deal coming out of it, all that kind of deal. It's called attention assist, but it's gauged based upon the steering and how you're steering well or not steering too well, the maneuvers you're making, and it's that symbol that lights up to telling you to get off the road. Get to a rest stop. Take a rest. Take a stop. And just for a minute, get a refresh. And it detects all kinds of things that you don't even know it's detecting, right? But here's the thing. Along life's journey, there's some short stops that we do well to take. And so, are you in Proverbs 3? Proverbs 3, I want you to look at verse 21. Proverbs 3, verse 21, it says this, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. And notice verse 23, it says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. If you're traveling along a long journey, what they say, those stops and those rests that you take are actually considered safety stops. For your own safety, for the safety of your family, for the safety of others on the road. And so it's a safety stop. And so let me give you some stops along the way that we can take here. And Proverbs 3, verse 21 through 23, what is it talking about? It's talking about walking wisely. Walking wisely. Wisdom is the principal thing, is it not? Therefore, we're to go after it. And wisdom is something that is talked about often. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, as ye have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Can I tell you, I'm encouraged by this. We can walk wisely in a perfect way within an imperfect world. It can be done. Not to say that I'm doing it. As a matter of fact, let me share a secret with you. My family doesn't know this, and I'm going to let it out of the bag tonight, because our New Year's theme for this year is this theme. And I so appreciate the Stay Close this morning, and I'll probably steal that theme for another year. But our theme for this year is to walk wisely. Amen. To walk wisely. That's what I desire. And I know it's going to take, as a father and as a husband, that's going to take a lot of leadership on my part in a spiritual way. But to do that, I need to be walking with the one who has wisdom. Amen. And that is God, of course. So Psalms 101:2 says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You know, 2 Corinthians tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so walking wisely is meant to be very purposeful and very on purpose. And so this is something that we can see in this chapter briefly as we look to verse 1. Would you with me? Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Amen. This is what requires of us. First thing, to walk wisely and to take some short stops along the life's journey. Along the journey, first of all, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It says, we just read it, forget not my law. It says, don't forsake my commandments and keep them, and let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Truth we know to be God's word. We know truth to be Jesus, don't we? And so, what is mercy? Mercy is loving kindness. By the way, these both go together. They're meant to go together. Just like God has mercy and truth go together, this is meant to be mercy and truth in our lives to go together. And so mercy and truth, don't forsake them. That implies to me that there's a good chance I am going to have a tendency to forsake it and to forget even the commandments and the law. If I'm not careful, I have to on purpose schedule my schedule. And I have to prioritize my priorities. And so, forget not my law, that implies we can forget it. And if you don't even try, you will forget it. And so on purpose, we must have intentional scheduling to this law that God is telling us about, which is God's word, and not forget it. You know, it's as if God knows our tendency to forsake these things and to forget these things. And so He tells us we got to work on remembering and prioritizing. And He says it in this way. He says, let thine heart, you see it in verse 1, let thine heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep it. He uses those exact words to say, let our heart keep it. Now you would think it would be, let our hands hold on to it. Or let our eyes look into it. Or let us make sure that we kind of get a big bear hug on it. No. He says, let thine heart keep my commandments. Because he knows this, if we're going to go about this, then we're going to be placing God's commandments in such a way that we're obeying his word. We're obedient to it and we're living it out, because anybody can grasp a hold of it. He says in Proverbs 4:4, just a page over probably in your Bible, Proverbs 4:4, it says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and what? Live. Amen. I'm so thankful that we have the word of God, but you know, it's much better that we have the word of God lived out in our life. Amen. That's the whole idea. And so Isaiah 51:7 says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people, you know, those people, in whose heart is my law. Glad we can say we're those people. It says this, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. And then in Psalms 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from my commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Amen.
And so it's the heart. And matter of fact, this is the heart of the matter, our heart. And so for it to go to our heart, that means it's going to be deep. That means we're not just looking at it. We're really desiring to make sure that this is something that is going to be applicable and it's going to be applied. It's going to be more than just hearer of the word, but a doer of it. And so I want to live it out. A man by the name of Bridges says this, the heart is the first thing that wanders away from God. But he also said it's the first thing that can return to God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
See, what comes with keeping our heart to his commandments is some wonderful things. Notice it says in verse 4. Thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Do you see in verse 2, backed up, you see there's some good things that come with keeping our heart to his commandments. You see it? It says length of days. Long life. I'm thankful for the life that God has given to me, but I desire to have a lot longer life. You know, I want to see children grow up. I want to see things take place in my life. I want to see God continue to work and to use people in this church and use me and others. And I'm thankful for life, just life in general. And so I'm reminded, the pastor mentioned to us this morning, just to thank God for even the breath of air that we have, to be able to breathe, and the oxygen that we can take in. So thankful for that. But length of days, you realize this as well, that this comes as a result of keeping his commandments? Wow. And so that's where we're to put the emphasis, where we're to focus in on. And so a life lived in obedience to the word of God, get this, it actually provides a healthier and longer life to you physically than it would be normal. Otherwise, if you can go about not, then it's not going to be as long. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know when that age is. Only God knows. Only God knows when we come into this world and we're taken out of this world, correct? But the thing of it is, this is something he's saying that we can do. To have that length, this is the way I like to look at it. It's years to your life and life to your years. Because look at this, it says length of days. It not only applies just the quantity of life, but the quality of that life. Long life. Long life. That counts for eternity. Long life. Would you take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs 8:35? Proverbs 8:35 says, whoso findeth me, findeth what?
Life.
And shall obtain favor of the Lord. Isn't that where you want to be?
Yeah.
Favor of the Lord, finding life, and well, you got to find him. Find God, find wisdom, go after it. You got to seek it with all your heart. And so mercy, what is that? Going back to Proverbs 3, what is mercy? We see mercy and truth, don't forsake it. We see the law, don't forget it. Mercy is known as loving kindness. Loving kindness is more than just kindness. You say, oh, I know, because it's loving in front of that. You got it. Exactly right. Love shown to your kindness. A little girl in a classroom, she asked her teacher, "Hey, what is loving kindness?" And the teacher said, "Well, it's as if when you're in the kitchen with your mom and your mom puts in the toast that you just asked for, and the toast comes out looking perfect, and just to the degree that she set the toaster, she knew that you wanted that toast to not be burnt, not be too much, but just enough. But loving kindness is not just because you asked for the toast, but then she goes on and puts on jelly and butter and all the stuff that you like. That's loving kindness." And so love added to kindness, it's as if it's with the kindness that's already been given to us. And so Psalm 25:10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." What I'm saying tonight is mercy and truth are meant to be joined together because they're joined together with God. And so they're in God's life. They're to be in our lives, shown and showing our God well. Notice verse 3. It says they're to be bound about thy neck. So I know what we're to do. We're to take mercy and truth and we're to make a necklace out of it and we're to put it around our neck. No, that's not what it means. This is what it means. That it is so much inward that at some point it is coming outward. And so it is being revealed and it's being seen. And because it's so inward that the outwardly then shows up in our behavior. And then so we're adorned with mercy and truth in such a way that it's obvious to others. And then it says in verse 3, it says, "Write them upon the table of thine heart." Are you with me?
Yes,
we're going quickly. These are short stops along the journey. Write them. You know, what you write down, you care about. I plan on sharing this with you, but just about everything Pastor tells me, I write down. First of all, I don't want to forget. And secondly, it's important to make sure you know where you wrote it down. But just because I feel it's important. But you know, we have something way more important than being able to serve here. We have an opportunity to serve the Lord. And God has given us something that He's written down. And it's right here for us. And so it's important that we write it down and maybe journal, maybe take notes of what you get from a message. I took many this morning. And I'm just thankful that what we care about oftentimes shows because we'll write it down. And so He says, mercy and truth, care about it. Enough to write it down. Enough to make sure you are going to do it. And it's going to go forward in your life. Notice it says in these verses here, we're familiar with it. I think Don shared this with us earlier. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So here's a short stop, but it is so necessary. This is vital, is it not? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And of course, it goes on to say about how we're not to be a part of this, leaning into our own understanding. And we're to acknowledge Him all the way and all of our ways and directing our paths. So how do we do this? Well, all your heart. How much? All your ways. Where will that take me? He will direct your paths.
Amen.
That's the answer. And so this trust in the Lord, it's the idea of a servant waiting for the master's command. It's a readiness to obey that call. It's the idea of a defeated soldier yielding himself to the general. And what the general says, he's going to immediately and exactly do with what the general asks of the soldier. And right to it, here we go. Because the general knows best. And so that's the idea. Because we rest in Him and not ourselves. We rest in Jesus, not ourselves. And notice, this is going to be critical. It leads me to verse 7, our third stop. Are you still taking the stops along the journey? Be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, our danger is we like to lean into our own understanding. We like to figure it out. I want to test the waters. I want to see what the temperature is. I want to know if it's frozen or if it's still wet. I want to know everything about it, anything I can about all ways and in all angles at all directions. And I'll probably start to try to ask other people how they feel about it and what they think about it. But wait a second, I'm to trust in the Lord with all my heart, not lean into my own understanding. I'm not to be wise in my own eyes. Do you know that represents total commitment to Christ and Him alone?
Amen.
That's it. But that's awful easy to say that's it. But when it comes rubber meets the road, it's a little more difficult. It's actually about the part of the trip right now where the coffee light's coming up. You have a choice. You're going to get off or you're going to, I'll wait for that coffee light to change colors. It's yellow. I'll see when it turns red. Be not wise in thine own eyes. It's that fuel light that comes on along the journey. Well, I got to push that button and see how many miles I can get. Be not wise in thine own eyes. I'll run off fumes if I can for a little while and see what happens. Yeah, you'll get stuck. We've all been there, side of the road, because find out that the next rest stop is 25 miles down the road, and you're then now out of gas, and now you're walking, and your car is getting smaller and smaller in the distance as your walk is longer and longer. See, our own strength never lasts as long as God's power. You just can't even compare to it. You can't even come close to it. So be not wise in thine own eyes. And one of the ways we can do that is the fourth stop, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance. You say, what is our substance? You already know what your substance is. And this is not only in wealth, although that's a great start, but this is all that God has given to us. By the way, what is all that God has given to us? That's a long list. Yeah. Very long list. This is the idea. It's not what your substance is. It's whether or not you honor God with that substance. Yeah. That's the idea. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so that is honoring Him. And those who faithfully give to the Lord, they actually show they're really trusting in the Lord by doing that. That's a great, great example of trust in the Lord to do that. It's a great thing that takes place when we give to God. It becomes actual evidence. The verdict is out. It becomes actual evidence that we believe in God when we give to God. And I'm thankful that we can do that and obey and have faith to do that. And look what happens. It's amazing. It says, verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's blessings to those who do give. And I'm sure we could testify to that. But we don't do it for the blessing. We do it because we've been blessed. And it's because of the blesser, if I may. And so the next stop is this. I don't even want to go there. Maybe you see what the next stop is. Do you know what it is? Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Can we just bypass this one? Can we just skip over this one? I really don't like this one. And if you're sensible and have any sense about you, you would also agree with me to say, I don't like that one either. No one likes this. No one looks forward to correction, to the discipline that God can bring. You talk about discipline from the Creator. Man. But it says not despise it. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. And I'm glad it doesn't say punishment. Because you realize a criminal is punished, but a child is corrected. And so that tells me something. That when I am corrected, I can rest assured I'm a child of God. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. Matter of fact, I don't even like getting stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire. And sometimes He just allows me to be in situations and circumstances where He's trying to get my attention. And He's trying to wake me up from making my life more miserable in my own sin that's got me there. And we heard a great message on that again this morning. I'm reminded of the things we heard this morning. But I get corrected. It's evidence I belong to Christ. Because notice verse 12, it says this, whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Can I tell you something very special? No matter how much it hurts, it will never harm you. Amen. Man. By the way, we can't even say that for human beings. But you can say that about God. Yeah. We live in a crazy world. And there's people out there that are willing to harm you and want to do everything they can to hurt you. And God's correction and God's chastening, it will hurt, but it never harms. As a matter of fact, it's a drawback most of the times to Himself, and we're being chastened to keep from sinning more or sinning worse. And so if I rebelled, I need to repent. If I am not right with God, I need to get right with God. And so it's a matter that I can take care of these things with God. And so the question comes down to this. Are you glad you get away with things? Or are you glad you can't? Because if you're glad you can't, it's because you have a Heavenly Father that loves you.
Amen.
And He's trying to keep you on the right road and trying to get you back. Trying to bring you back as a prodigal. And He's there with those arms wide open. And so when we get corrected, Job said this, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." Well, it's amazing because Job had something, I think, of validity to what he's saying. And so he says, "Happy is the man." That seems weird. "Whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Sounds very similar to this verse. And next stop, verse 6. We'll make this a quick stop with a lot of verses. Sound good? So verse 13, it says this, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And then it literally goes into a lot of the byproducts of the product of wisdom. And so if you want these byproducts, guaranteed, sound like a salesman, right? Guaranteed byproducts that come with this purchase. And here's the purchase. You got to purchase wisdom. And to purchase it, you got to go find it. And so the finding wisdom, happy is the man that does find it, search for it diligently, and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her." Here we go again, length of days. We're reminded again about that. "Is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." Sounds pretty good. "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her." That is, to those that lay hold upon her. "And happy is every..." Happy. It's true. "Is everyone that retaineth her." You know, to retain something means you're going to lay hold onto it. It means you're going to pretty much jump on it and attain it and grasp it. It's the Christmas crazy frenzy of the people that want that gift, actually bring it back to Black Friday special deal, and they think that's only going to be a lasting limited time only, and they got to get there first and way early and stand in line and do whatever it takes to get that item. This is what it says about wisdom. We're to retain it. We're to lay hold on it. We're to grab it fast. We're to put a hold on it in such a way that we're not going to let it go. Amen. Matter of fact, we're going to get support from it when we do. And so we're going to get a attainment of it and laying hold on as best as we can. Because this is what it amounts to. Those who go after it and are trying to retain it, God is going to bless that. Because God is the ultimate giver of wisdom. And so wisdom comes from God, and so wisdom is going to be granted to you from God. And God does not open His Word to lazy minds. So you got to go find it, you got to go seeking it, you got to go after it, and you got to make priority to do so. He will open it to those who are alert and want to learn and know the Word of God. And in verse 19 down through verse 21, you can see all kinds of things that can come from it. And so verse 22, you even see that it's life and it's grace. Do you see it? I want to show something to you briefly here. Verse 21, 22, 23, and 24. I want you to see some items that are here. Verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They shall be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." Verse 24, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." You want your sleep to be sweet? You've got to go after wisdom. But it covers the eyes, the neck, the feet, the backbone when you lie down. These are all critical components for a forward journey with God. And most of the time, let's be honest, we're either walking or sleeping. I know there's a lot of food in between. But here's the thing. This is what God is saying, that we're to go after this wisdom in such a way that we are putting all of our effort forth, and then these are going to show up in our life. It's going to be obvious because we're surrendered every part to God. Our eyes, a neck, feet, lying down. And so it even comes into the fact that we can have sleep, as crazy as that sounds, be evidence of our trust in Jesus Christ. because we sleep better if we're trusting in Jesus.
Amen.
And so we're going after God for His wisdom. One few more stops here, very fast. Look at it, would you, in verse 25. Told you we covered a lot of verses there, and there's so much about wisdom there, but here's another stop. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Verse 25. It says, if have no fear, Jesus is near, because the word of God is the answer to all of our fears. Wisdom is the principal thing. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Have no fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Here's another stop. Verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Say not. Don't be this person. Don't say these things. Don't do this. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. We're to be a help. We're to live out our Christian life in more ways than one. More than just saying we're Christian, we're to live that life of Christ in our life. And how does this happen? Well, notice the next stop. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Why do I have that neighbor next to me? God, didn't you know I should have a better neighbor than that? They're just a bunch of trouble. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Here's the idea. Be a help and bring good. Anyone can bring the harm. Anybody can bring the bad. Anybody can bring the trouble. But where to be that difference? And then in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Don't envy or follow their ways. Don't envy or follow their ways. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You know, envy is desiring something that's really something that's not even yours anyways, and you're desiring it, and you're jealous of it, and you're zealous for it, and you're envy of it, and you want to go after it. But what you and I go after, we normally get. And so before long, something wrong happens, and it's sinful, and it's wicked, because you're not supposed to have envied it to begin with. And so the idea is that we are to go after wisdom with all of our life, and we are to make sure that we have some short stops along the way. This is really the walk of wisdom. This is really walking wisely. And it's just like God to show us the way of wisdom, even in this chapter, because God is the God of wisdom. And all wisdom dwells in Him, so He desires for us to do these things. And then when we do, we get to see God do some amazing things on our behalf. He allows our foot to not stumble. He allows us to be able to have life and sweet rest and our eyes and our feet to be in the right place and moving forward along the journey. And so God just is so good, because we're trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, and we're not leaning to our own understanding. We're acknowledging Him in all of our ways. And so then He's just taking over and directing our paths. No, He's doing that because He knows, He sees, and He's got it all figured out. And He definitely sees the one who is putting their trust in Him and then seeking this wisdom with all their heart, going after it in such a way that they've experienced the fact that wisdom is precious. Man, there is wealth with wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the wisdom that comes from God and Him alone. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, I do pray that You'll help us to take these short stops along the journey. Thank You for this chapter. Thank You for the things that You were able to show us. I pray that we'll take them to heart and that You'll use these in our life, even this upcoming year, this week. I thank You for it. I thank You for the opportunity to look at this passage and the privilege of being able to just share Your word. I thank You for our church and our pastor, and I thank You for the things that You show us. Each and every Sunday we come here, we don't have to ever leave empty, and I thank You that we can hear something from Your word and from the messenger of Your word. I thank You for that the word of God does not ever return void, and we just are so grateful. We love You in Jesus' name.